Here, the old gods are dead.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hello. Wait, that was, I was trying to be Adele, but then I realised I can't sing immediately.
Is it no Lionel Richie? I thought that's
Wait, I do kind of give Lionel Richie in a sense.
No, you do.
Wait,
you do.
What? Which one's Lionel Richie?
Nicole Richie's one with... dad.
Yes. Okay, I know the one.
What have you been up to, Liam?
What have I been up to? So, as we know, it's Lent season. So, as an act of discipline, I gave up chocolate for Lent, which I was like, oh, this is an easy thing to do for me. Because, like, oh, I don't have that much chocolate. I'm not that fond of chocolate. But it has been taunting me. And I forgot that, like, giving up chocolate during Lent is, like, the most difficult thing to do because the whole, like, Easter egg situation.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Putting yourself through it.
Yeah. And then everywhere I go, there's chocolate. Everywhere you look, there's a hem. And it's but, like, the worst of the worst things happened today. And I don't know how this even happens because I want to know the statistics on how likely this was to happen. Because I was in Sainsbury's after my exam. I had an exam. I did an analysis exam today. And I was like, okay, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to get, like, you know, Sainsbury's have, like, cookies and granola things, like, bags of them. So I was going to get, like, a bag of the, like, granola bar things that have, like, fruit and stuff in them. And it literally, it says granola on the label. Like, I still have it. This will be in our out of context post because I'm going to post a picture of this. But inside the bag was, like, chocolate chip shortbread. I've never been so mad in my fucking life. So Sainsbury's, fuck you. Because that cost me, like, £150 or something. Like, it was a lot of money. And I know, like, I'm not going to buy another thing because that's just, like, disgusting. And also, like, going back into the shop and, like, that's embarrassing if someone sees me.
Queen in the Sainsbury's bakery thought they were doing, like, something soon for somebody, being like, oh, they're going to buy these raisin granola bars and it's actually going to be, like, chocolate chip cookies. Little did they know.
Yeah.
That this would actually be taunting you.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you for no caving, because you texted me a bit and I was like, well, bitch, did you eat them? Because I would have.
No, I let Narius eat them. He ate two. And then he was like, no, you have to take them or I'll eat them. And I'm like, I'm literally mid-Lent. Why would you make me take them?
Never do Lent. I never do it.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just better than you.
No tea. Tea. There is a few things that I should give up, but I won't. I mean, Guinness is what I should give up.
I was gonna say Coke, but
anyway, this isn't an intervention.
Maybe it should be.
Speaking of interventions and things that I should stop, I've been watching Pretty Little Liars with my girlfriend because she's never seen it before, and I was obsessed with it in high school. And I was like, oh my god, this program's so good. Like, it's so good to theorize who A is. Like, have you done again? Pretty Little Liars is like a teen show for the 2010s where like a group of lassies get stalked by this villain called A who like taunts them and cyber bullies them basically. And we were watching it together and there's a plot line where a teacher sleeps with a student, and then there's another plot line where one of the girls, the main girls, has like an affair with her older sister's like husband or ex-friend or something, and he's old and she's like 16. And apparently this affair started when he was 15, and I was like, oh my god, this program's full of paedophiles. And Nomi, my girlfriend, was just like, you like this? And I was like, when I was in high school, it seemed to be really hot, and you know, I've obviously got the creeps, so I've had to stop watching Pretty Little Liars.
Not hot, Becca!
Well, the teacher's like, I don't think he's fit now, but when I was in high school, I thought he was really fit. His name's Ezra Fitz, so like Mr. Fitz. But we all fancied him when we were in high school. Like when we watched it, we were like, oh my god, Ezra and Ari are so hot. And now I'm watching it and I'm like, every scene where they kiss, and they kiss quite a lot and they have sex quite a lot, it's actually filthy. So Marlene King, we've got beef. Well, I'm kind of upset now because it was one of my favourite programmes, and obviously that speaks a lot about like my media intake, but because we had just come off the back of watching Twin Peaks, so I was like, oh, we should watch something like a wee bit more lighthearted but still kind of weird. And weird we were, because it was just paedophiles, so that's that.
Speaking of your favourite programmes, X-Files.
Oh my god, true. That is actually my favourite programme. My favourite programmes are Twin Peaks and the X-Files. This week's episode is going to be Scottish Alien Encounters, which, historical, I would say, but normally we would like have like a listener mail section here. We're going to do something a wee bit different this week because a friend of the pod, a bestie of the pod, has sent in a voice note that we're going to play about her alien encounter. If you have got any abduction stories, any UFO stories or anything like that, you can either send them via voice note or message on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, or you can email them to thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com. So here's an abduction story for one of your besties.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying I was on drugs, so take from that what you will. But that night, we'd been taking stuff or whatever, and it was a weird night anyway because I completely blacked out. And then, like, when I came to again, I was just, like, in a really random place, like, don't know how I got there. And then when I finally, like, went home and went to sleep, the dreams I had were really weird. The last dream I can remember was I'm, like, falling in between buildings, and then like I hit back in my bed, and then I wake up, and my instant thought is just like, I feel like I've been abducted by aliens. And then what makes it really weird though is I text somebody that I was out with that night being like, I know this sounds stupid, but I feel like I've just been abducted by aliens. And they were like, oh my god, me too. And I was like, I was having the weirdest dreams, that I was like falling through buildings, and the person was like, oh my god, I literally just woke up from the exact same dream. So we were both freaking out, being like, oh my god, we just got abducted and then dropped back in our beds. But I don't know, just a weird experience.
Wait for applause.
Right, Liam, what do you make of that?
I mean, the immediate off the bat, I was on drugs, to do with that what you will, sent me. I literally, like, well, obviously we watched this early. We didn't actually pause the show, behind the curtain, breaking the fourth wall. But anyway, when I watched it, I spent like a solid like 30 seconds just reminiscing over the fact that that was her preface to the whole story. I was like, okay, so
well,
take it with a grain of salt.
I've heard this before and specifically asked this person to send it in, and obviously they were on drugs, but as someone who may or may not have taken drugs in the past.
For legal reasons, you have never done that.
And would never condone anybody else saying that. But like when I have, I've never had a dream before. Like I normally, like genuinely, it's just blackout, no REM sleep, no dreams, like we hate brain zaps and we go to bed. But as soon as she said that she was like dreaming and like she had several dreams, and then like that just makes me believe them,
Like, no, I actually like believe women. I do believe her, but I just thought it was funny.
But I remember at the time it happened and they told us about it and I was like, oh my fucking God. I was like, that's so scary. Like falling back into your bed after falling like past loads of buildings, like as if she had been dropped through the sky.
Yeah, I feel like alien abduction is one of my biggest fears.
I was saying this to Noam earlier. I was like, aliens genuinely scare me more than ghosts do.
Oh, by far. Ghosts aren't always nasty.
No. Well, I don't... Well, who knows if aliens are nasty, but...
Well, you can't, like... You'd ask for consent when you take someone out of bed, you know? Like, that's insane. But if I were her friend, like, I find it funny because, like, you know how she was saying... And then I messaged my friend, she's like, oh my God, I just had the same thing. Like, I, as a friend... Like, I'm not saying her friend did this, but I, as a friend, if my friend said that to me, I would gaslight them for fun. So I'd be like, oh my God, totally me happened. Too. That just happened to me as well. So you were on drugs and you were like, oh my God, I think that happened to me too. And it's like, you actually just like pissed the bed or something. But
speaking of alien abduction stories, that's the best segue we've done.
Hold for applause. Okay.
We'll take a wee break and then we'll come back and I've got a wee story about an alien.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An abduction. And by abduction story, I totally didn't mean that because I just went to read my story and Liam had to stop me and tell me that he picked the same one. So...
Yeah, in true Creepy Wee podcast fashion, I left all my research till the last minute. And then I was like, okay. And then I read all of Rebecca's texts, like, okay, don't do this one. And I read one of her texts entirely wrong. And I was like, okay, I'll do that one. And that's like Rebecca's main source. And now 5 mental breakdowns, a crying episode, a 20-minute pause later.
I rewrote a whole story, so... So, good job I had a backup, as the Capricorn that I am. My story is a alien encounter in Fife, where I am from, close to my heart. So, in Kennaway, two girlies, Lynn and Jean, and a 10-year-old boy, I'm assuming it's one of their children, called Peter, left their house to go to a local shop. So, this was on the 24th of September, around 7:30 p.m. and in 1996. They ken it was 7:30 p.m. because it was timed by the start of a television programme. Doesn't say which one, I would love to ken, but I'm going to assume that it was either Corrie or Emmerdale. So it was dark at this time of year, obviously, but it was a clear and dry night. The opening scenario is kind of reminiscent of the Betty and Barney Hill case. Ufologists or ufologists will know.
Not ufologist. Do you know, until today I had never heard of the term ufologist?
Oh, I know it well. Basically, Lynn is in the front passenger seat and Jean is driving. Lynn spots a bright oval-shaped light flying really low down in the sky, and she watched it for a few seconds wondering what the fuck it could be, and then turned away. And then she looked back and the single light had then split into two circles of light. At this point, Lynn's basically got her foo face like pressed up to the dashboard, and she's like nudging Jean to look. Jean looks, and the both of them, like, it's no moving, it's like hovering above the road, like, and it doesn't look like a helicopter, and it doesn't look like a plane, so it's obviously a UFO. Neither of them had like clocked onto that at that point though, so Jean slows the car down to like a walking pace, and it's just hovering right in front of the car. The object then moves to their left and hovers like behind a farmhouse, which they can see the silhouette of, because the craft is like emitting so much light. And then the field below the craft then like lights up like fireworks have gone off, so there's like all these different colors coming from the craft. Then suddenly the UFO moves away and rotates and displays like a series of small red dots of light coming for it. Jean and Lynn look at this and then go, all right, and then just drive away and go and get caught.
Wait, that's kind of you.
Yeah,
that's
kind of
you.
Like seeing it and then being
prioritizing.
Like, okay, what can I do about this? Nothing. I'm going to go and get my Nescafe.
Not my problem.
So on their way back, they're confronted by it again when they pass the original site of the encounter. And as suddenly as it arrived, it disappears into the night. Lynn notices that three cars were traveling behind them, although there was no indication that any of their occupants had seen the mysterious object. And then when they return home, they obviously like all sit and talk about it and decide at 9:45 p.m. that they'll drive back. So they drive back and they see a blue glow coming through the woods at the side of their car. I have no idea why they did this. I would certainly.
Why would you do that?
And they take the kid every single time they take Peter. They see a blue glow coming through the woods and they see in the distance
Mr. Burns teeth.
Literally.
It was Mr. Burns the whole time.
No, this is what it reminded me of. So they see the craft is like in amongst the trees and it's low down, but it's hovering, and amongst the trees and beside the craft, they see several small entities, none of which are human. They're quite small, and then above them is a tall individual. Its height is estimated at around 7 feet, which seemed to be the in charge of the smaller companions. And understandably frightened, Jean and Lynn turn the car around and drive home. And then they start talking about it again. They're like kikiing, and they're like, no, maybe we should go back. So
why?
I don't know, they've went back like 3 times. Like, petrol was cheap in the 90s, obviously. I would not be doing this.
Some people deserve to be abducted, like, that's on you.
And then this time they go back, but they've got a pair of binoculars that I think belong to Peter. And
not the stealth operation.
So they're like they're like that fucking that gif of that pigeon, like the binoculars. I can't believe they just like kikied about this like several times and then decided to go back. Anyway, so they've got the binoculars and they're like in the car and they're like looking into the woods, and the craft is still there, and they see groups of small creatures transporting boxes and tube-shaped objects from the woods towards the craft. And then Lynn described them as having very big, dark eyes with heads too big for their bodies, and they didn't appear to have mouths. The taller supervisor was still visible, and they both said that he had, like light brown skin and narrow eyes, but still had, like, a huge head and huge limbs and stuff. Very creepy.
Wait, no, hold, pause.
Pause.
So this is in 5, it's in the woods, it's humanoid creatures with big black eyes that don't quite resemble humans. This is literally just you and your friends on a mad one. They've literally just seen you
with like webbed feet and shit. So the incident actually has quite a terrifying ending described by Jean. She says that suddenly dozens of bubble-like things came out of the woods and were flying around us like 4 feet away. But they were like hovering motionless as they reached them, and they were all like, and they could see through these bubbles, and each one of them had small creatures inside that had big black eyes and big heads. But these were like floating egg bubble things that had like tiny wee aliens in them. Think like the jelly aliens that like you rub together and they go pregnant. Remember them?
Did they actually get pregnant? Because everyone always told me they got pregnant, but I never like.
No,
were they?
It's an urban legend. Was that? I think it's
an urban
legend.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I was like, how did they reproduce?
That's the kind of vibe that I got for like the wee creatures that are like floating around them. At this point, the craft is like, there's kind of like a rave going on. So there's like red, green, and blue lights like pulsing for the craft, and that's how they're able to see all these wee creatures in these bubbles. So they go home after they run. As soon as like these creatures come up to them, they like beeline out of there, and they finally decide not to go back. And weeks after the incident was over, Lynn began to have dreams of being taken into a craft. So it appears that she actually was abducted.
That's on her. Like
all the people that were there though decided not to go under hypnosis. Mayhaps because in Fife you would probably be ripped into for doing that. but this is where I kind of stopped believing in it, because the source for this is a red top rag. So it's like the sun or something like that, fuck knows. But Peter, the 10-year-old who was present at the original incident, claimed that a shiny grey alien was in his bedroom and went down to the breakfast table with him and even accompanied him in a taxi to school one day.
It was Kate Bush. She came in through the window.
Kathy. So that's my Fife tale. I can remember reading that in the McX book, so like that's why I had that saved as a backup. It's like a part of me knew.
I would literally bully all of these people, but like...
I mean, the fact that they kept going back, I don't know, wouldn't it be me?
The brass neck. I can't... Why would you...
I mean, it's scary, but like it seems a bit fantastical. Your story, however, is much more believable. But Liam, do you want to share my story with us?
Wait, I'm glad we had that mix up because I enjoyed that story.
I'm like
I wouldn't have got to hear that.
I'm kind of impressed that I put that out my arse. I'm not going to lie.
I can't lie. I'm shocked. I thought you were going to like go, you just did the damn thing. Wait, now I want you to tell both because you told that so much better than I would.
Okay. Do you want me to?
Yeah, we're retconning. Okay. Becca's going to tell both stories because I am enjoying her doing it better.
Okay. This story is quite famous. And by famous, I mean that it's been in like the Edinburgh Evening Times and stuff. So dark and stormy night on August 17th, 1992, Gary Wood and Colin Wright were delivering a satellite TV system to their friend in the village of Tarbrax, which is about 50 miles away from Edinburgh. Now, for the Gen Zs, satellite TV system. I
had to Google what it was.
I didn't know. I can kind of go over my head because I had one of these, but I think it's like the satellite dish that accompanies a skybox for you to get Sky.
Yeah.
So they're traveling to their friend in Tarbrax to set up this system for them. God knows why they're doing this at 10 p.m. at night, but they are. They set off at 10 p.m. and they expect their journey to take no more than half an hour. So they're driving along the A70, which passes through... Once it passes through the outlying suburbs of Curry and Balerno, immediately enters a bleak, expansive moor that stretches the whole length of the Pentland Hills. Basically, the A70s, it's not a motorway, it's a road that like basically goes like through the Pentland Hills and then basically travels much of the borders.
It's a big windy bitch.
Yeah. The locals call it the Langwang.
Yeah.
Langwang?
The Langwang.
And I literally had to message like an author of Scots and be like, is this how you say this?
No, do we all want to know how stupid I am? Because I didn't, like, I saw Becca send this message and then I text her saying, oh, I know how to say this because I have been on this road and with a local, so I know how to say it. And then I told her how to say it, knowing that I had also seen this in the story. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And I didn't think, oh, maybe we're researching the same thing. You know, it's been a long day. I did a test this morning. Sainsbury's fucked me over this afternoon. And this was bound to happen. So take what you can get with this podcast, you know?
Be more careful. So
we were careful. I just can't read.
You're illiterate.
Liam Michelle. She'll never overcome the can't read allegation.
They're on the Langwin. Tarbrax actually lies off the main road itself, but even then, it's an extremely isolated place. Like, it's not a big village by any means. As Colin and Gary drive towards the Harperig Reservoir, about 5 miles from Blairno, the car is approaching a blind bend in the road when Gary, who's driving, hears Colin shout out, "What the fuck is that?" Now, the source says that Gary called it, Colin called out, "What the hell is that?" But I can't imagine that's actually what he said.
He said, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. He looks up and he sees a very large object hovering about 20 feet above the road, and he estimates that the object is about 30 feet wide, black in colour, and resembled a, quote, classic flying saucer. And it was windowless, and it looked as if it were made of a solid metallic substance. Now, I read this story to my girlfriend earlier, and she was like, "So, like, metal, then?" And I was like, "No tea."
I was reading this, and I was like, "So metal." That I actually just had written, "They saw a metal spaceship with no windows or lights." Because, like, call a spade, like, we don't need to be journalistic with this. They saw metal, you know?
So, like, metal then. So this is hovering in the middle of the road and shitting it. Gary puts his foot down on the accelerator in an attempt to drive underneath the object and get away from the scene as fast as possible. So as the car passes underneath, they're plunged into what Colin would later describe as a void of blackness. And he also described a shimmering curtain falling around them, which he described as being like a static TV set. In the darkness, they feel a shunt on the back of the car, and then, which only seemed like moments later, they were back on the starlit road once again. Gary immediately drives off at a high speed because he's shitting his cell, and they arrive at Tarbrax at 12:45 a.m.
Wait, queer coding. But I read that, like, he was struggling to get control of the car when it came back onto the road, because he was going so fast.
I would be shitting myself.
But then they sort of, like, looked in each other's eyes for a second, and I was like, well, that's queer coded. I enjoyed that.
Oh, he, like, got the confidence after looking into Colin's eyes.
And then they kissed. Yeah. But, like, no, it was more like they looked at each other in fear and were like, "Oh, so you experienced the same thing I did," which is nice. Trauma bond.
Both men noticed that when they arrived, it was a bit 2 hours later than they had expected it to be. So they had set off at 10 p.m. and it was now 12:45 a.m. the following morning, meaning that it had taken five times as long as they had expected to reach their destination, and they had no recollection of their missing time. After the encounter, Gary begins to experience various unpleasant symptoms, including headaches and bouts of extreme nervousness.
Me when I do poppers.
Like, literally, who among us? He quickly connects these sensations with the strange vision that he had had on the A7A. Having tried but failed to contact the Scottish Earth Mysteries Research, Gary eventually contacted a UFO investigator, Malcolm Robinson. He convinces the witnesses to undergo hypnosis in an attempt to account for their missing time. So they have a few sessions with an experienced hypnotherapist called Helen Walters. Details an abduction by small grey extraterrestrials emerges. It appears that when they had tried to drive underneath the craft that they were taken on board, in his account of what had taken place on board the alien craft, Gary describes one of the greys having a translucent bone-shaped arms with long fingers. And whilst in the spacecraft, he saw a hole in the floor that was filled with some kind of sticky fluid. Now, the whole hallway smells like cum.
The whole hallway smells like cum.
No, that's just where my... But, like, if you've ever watched The X-Files, they have, like, a black sticky liquid that aliens kind of hang it in, so it could be something like that. Obviously, that's a really good source. So when he was looking down into this, like, sticky hole, he's seen a head appear.
Name of my sex tape.
he's seen a head appear out of the fluid with a body and two arms. And then Gary says the creature must have been...
Not a big creature looking down into a sticky hole.
So
this story is so fucking claggy.
So Gary says that the creature must have been pretty big, bigger than me. It was like a skeleton with translucent flesh around it. It had long arms, really long arms, and a long body, really skinny, with skin tight to the bone.
Me.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I literally hate it. I hate it in my notes. Liam's going to call himself skinny. So he described the NAA as having a large head with two prominent but non-human dark eyes, and its flesh appeared discoloured and translucent. These strange beings communicated with Gary using telepathy, which is a common theme amongst other encounters with greys that other people have had that I've heard. Like Betty and Barney Hill said the same thing about the greys that abducted them. So apparently the greys let them ken through telepathy that the reason abducting them appeared to be to have carried out some kind of examination. These remembered incidents were far from reassuring for either abductee, although Colin appears to have been less concerned about the incident than Gary. Gary's absolutely traumatised that he's been like probed, and Colin's like, no, NBD, like, get at it.
Colin enjoyed it. Bossy bottom Colin.
What's he like?
See, this is the thing. People always talk about, like, translucent, thin, like, tall, skinny aliens. And I'm like, are you forgetting Tilda Swinton lives in Scotland?
I was
maybe
literally
you didn't experience
just...
what you...
I was like, which weird-looking celebrity am I going to reference? So, Gary has said that he continues to have experiences and visits for alien beings, which he finds disturbing. But can we, like, trust this testimony? Like, would we have even heard about it if it wasn't for hypnosis?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I was thinking, like, this is very Scientology. The place is literally called Strange Phenomena Investigations. Like, that's where they got the hypnosis done. Like, it's called SPI.
My tea was that if you've ever, like, studied the satanic panic, hypnosis can often lead to witnesses recounting details that are manifestly incorrect. So, like, during the satanic panic cases in America, children provided false testimony to abuse when put under hypnosis, and that actually often ended in their parents or their teachers being falsely imprisoned because they had been influenced to recount these kinds of stories. So obviously, if you were gone underneath hypnosis on the dollar, like a ufologist, then it would probably be influenced in a way where you would say something like this. However,
yeah.
As much as false memory syndrome must be considered as a possibility in this case, both witnesses remain adamant about the reality of their encounter and the strange craft that they came across and the missing time of their lives. Neither witness contacted the police because they felt that this story would not be believed. And as for what happened to Gary's car during the period of the abduction, if they were taken from their car and returned to it at least an hour later, then the vehicle must have been stored and kept somewhere, because it's not as if it was only like 10 o'clock at night. It isn't like as it could have sat there in the middle of the road for like near enough 3 hours and nobody would have come across it. It is it's a main road, like lorries drive up it. So we might never know exactly what happened on the A7A, but if you believe like me and Liam do, then it was definitely something extraterrestrial. And I think this story is a lot more believable than the Fife encounter.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. I did do some digging, and I googled most popular drugs 1992, and weed, ecstasy, cocaine. So it could just be they were having a good time.
I mean,
I also found out, well, this was a source from America, but I found out that there was a huge uptick for like 5 years of acid between 1992 and 1995. Do with that what you will.
Gary and Colin were part of MK Ultra, and that's how they seen aliens.
Well, the hypnosis, the alleged acid that they will never escape, that I just alleged, like, it's all adding up. But I did find it funny that, like, well, actually, I felt really bad for Gary because he was so traumatized, and he was like, he didn't want to go to the police because he thought he would be bullied, rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
But he ended up sending a report to the British UFO Research Association called BEFORA, which I had never heard of before. And I went to their website, and it looks like it must have looked in 1992. Like, it looks like an early 90s, like, online chat room. And I'm like, we're not sponsored, but, like, I'm just begging people to get Squarespace. It takes less than a second for someone to decide they don't want to go to your website. I also tried to Google what the like impact factor, the journal articles from before it are. Anything less than 4 is considered not really as credible. I couldn't even find one for them, so I'm not sure if anyone's really observing them as like serious, but again, do with that what you will.
Well, as an academic and a researcher into the paranormal, I believe them.
I believe them because, like, it's more fun to believe them.
Yeah. Genuinely, aliens terrify me so much. So stories like this, like, I genuinely think I'm going to have nightmares the night about aliens, but it is always fun to recount them.
I think this was kind of a fun episode in the end. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. Enjoy it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to look so forward to editing this at 9:20 at night. No, to be fair, we were meant to record at 8 and we started recording at 7:30, and thank fuck we did, because we're still on time.
The spirit really told me what I needed to know today, you know?
Well, at least you...
I can't believe this happened.
You've sat an exam, Liam. Like, actually, stop beating yourself up. Everybody send off in the comments, send your love for Liam. But...
yeah.
That's us for this episode. Remember to rate and review on iTunes and Spotify, 5 stars or nothing else. If you leave a comment, it really helps. It'll help other people find our show. You can follow us on Instagram at The Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at The Creepy Wee Pod, and you can email us at thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Wait, do we have a special guest to say what are you waiting for? Because I think that's something that we might start doing.
Oh, shit. Yeah. If
anyone wants to send us voice memos so I don't have to do it every day, you can do it.
Yeah, if anybody wants to send their impression of what are you waiting for, I'll do the next one. I'll get the ball rolling.
That was good.
I'll get the ball rolling.
That was good.
I'll get the ball rolling. Okay, right. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.